The Lord be with you. The reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told this parable. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones, when taking their lamps, brought no oil with them, but the wise brought flasks of oil with their lamps. Since the bridegroom was long delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is here, come out and meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." The wise ones replied, "No, for there will not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the merchants and buy some for yourselves." And while they went off to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went to the marriage feast. Then the door was locked. Afterwards, the other virgins came and said, "Lord, Lord, open for us." He said in reply, "Amen, I do not know you. Therefore, stay awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you, Father Kui, for the introduction this morning. I have a plan, and in a few short years, he's going to be standing here talking to you. So get ready. So obviously, I'm not going to really do much with the gospel or the readings today. They're actually beautiful ones, and they do prepare us for this time of year when we look at the end times and we wonder, are we prepared? Wonderful words from Jesus. Stay awake, be ready. You do not know the time, the day, or hour. So ponder those readings, I think, throughout the week as great insights about how we are to live our Christian life, which hopefully we're not saying, "Oh, I have to panic and now start doing things because the end is coming." Hopefully we say we've been doing things all along. Maybe it's a time of refreshment, reflection about how we can live it more deeply. But we should not be thinking, "Let me start." So it's just words of wisdom and reminder from Jesus of where we are called to be. Father Kui mentioned that this is Stewardship Weekend. Last year, I think it was the same weekend, I talked to you about stewardship and your commitment to the parish. And this weekend is the same message. And throughout the week, you should have received a mailing from me with my letter and a report, a financial report for the parish, as well as a commitment form that I'm asking you to discern prayerfully with your family what would be your level of giving for the coming fiscal year. As we prepare as a parish to plan that budget, we begin that in the new year, and the fiscal year begins in July. So we're thinking forward, you know, many needs in the parish, just the sustainability of the parish community. It's pretty a serious conversation, and you are part of that conversation, and so this Sunday is your invitation to engage that. I feel a little funny and probably a bit anxious asking for your contributions again. This year with COVID, it's been just an incredible, incredible roller coaster, and we're not done with it yet. And I know there are people who've lost their jobs or their jobs have been reduced, and I know the effect of that on so many of our parishioners, particularly those who, you know, they don't have in their job currently any of the benefits. Some of our parishioners don't have that legal protection. And so when they lose their job because, well, they're really at the lowest part of that structure, they're really impacted. There's no other resources to turn to. And I was really buoyed by, early in the year, we asked for people to help bring food and perhaps money to help parishioners in need. And the response was incredible. It was incredible. And that, you can't underestimate the help that gave to so many of our parishioners. So on that level, I thank you for your ability to help and to step up. That's really a great gift to the parish. And then I think, you know, the school had a chance to get a matching grant from the Schultz Family Foundation. And when I came to the parish to say, can you help? I mean, we met the goal beyond the expectation and then actually put money toward another grant that will help us give financial assistance to so many of the families in the school. So even though you've stepped up and gave more money because of COVID, when there was a need, for example, at the school, you gave even more. And I appreciate that. And it's so much an important part of what we do as a parish community. Then I feel, once again, it's like, can you give more? And you might say, I can't. But you know, that's part of the discernment that you and I have to make. We say, I'll do what I can, but I can't compromise my family life and my own security. Those are important things. And so I'm not asking you to make a sacrifice that will damage you or damage the family, but to prayerfully engage, what can I do? And it might be, I can keep the same level of giving. Perfect. Or it might be, I can give a little more. Perfect. That's what I ask you to do in these coming weeks, is to discern what you can give to the parish for the coming year. But I do want to give you a little bit more information about what the parish picture looks like. So in the packet that I mailed to you, there's, of course, the famous pie charts, you know, which break everything down in terms of income that comes in and where it goes, and then the expenses that we have to deal with and the percentage of that regarding the budget. So it just gives you an idea of a financial picture of the parish. But one thing very important that we do have to discern, and it'll be beyond the stewardship question, if you will, as the year goes on, is what is the mission of St. Alphonsus Parish? That's a very important question, and it's pretty complex. So, for example, what will be our outreach? Now, currently, we have a parish school. We have the sacraments we celebrate every Sunday, every day. We have RCIA. We have faith formation for the kids. We have adult formation. All those things go on. We have a number of outreaches that we do. We try to get to the hospitals to visit parishioners. We bring communion to their homes. We talk to them. I made an appointment yesterday for a parishioner that I'm going to go see this coming week because he's too compromised to come here. So I'm going to go and spend some time and then celebrate the sacraments with him. But that sort of outreach goes on all the time from the Redemptorist here. And what other parts of the mission do we have? We help to the Knights of Columbus to collect money and food and clothes for kids who are in need. And we help out with branch ministries, which we prepare a meal, take it to Catholic Charities so that it can help feed people for a particular day. We do many things. We try to do some social things, but right now with the whole COVID thing, we're not doing that very much. I went to a meeting yesterday for the Teams of Our Lady, which is marriage support, and it was here in the hall. It was kind of great, and then it was great just to connect with people who you kind of see in the parish from time to time, but it's a time to sit and share and hear the stories of what people are going through. That's an outreach that we give here at the parish, which is just immensely important. All this is the mission of the parish, to be Christ's people today in this area of our world. What more do we need to do? Have we overextended ourselves? When we choose to do something, why? Those are just reflection points that we will gather, we'll get more information as the year goes on. But it helps us think, what will we be as a parish? And what do we need in order to do that? There's always a financial piece, but I would not want to say our mission is compromised because of finances. And that's a delicate balance. But it'd be horrible to say, well, we have to cut everything out just so that we can keep the lights on. So it's part of the conversation I want to invite you into And I want to do that primarily through small group gatherings where people feel comfortable to come and share and to listen. Or it might be a virtual one where we use Facebook or we use Zoom to gather people and to hear information of what is concerning you. What do you need to know more about the parish? I did get an email a couple days ago about stewardship, and it was like, I don't trust it because I don't know where the money's going. Good question. So I'm waiting for a response of, what more do you need to know? How can I help you make those decisions? How can I help answer some of those questions? And I extend that to everyone here today, is you can ask me those questions. You can send me an email, and I'll respond to you. And it will probably take it to the finance council to say, how do we meet the needs of our parishioners and answer their questions? It's all under the umbrella of transparency, which today we know from our own experience in the Archdiocese is absolutely necessary. So the questions aren't threatening, they're not bad, but they're essential to know what are people thinking and how do we together move forward to make sure our mission is secure. So there's a few things I just want to point out to you that are important for us to think about. One is the parish school. And we currently subsidize it from the parish for about $100,000 per year. But we reach out to children and families who are not necessarily connected to the parish. Now, back in the 70s and 80s, that was truly a parish school. And a lot of the parish families sent their kids there. And so how do we help those parents who are more financially strapped to give a good Catholic education to their kids? Once again, there's a little bit of an imbalance, but we try to do the best for them. I mentioned this last year, I have a great desire to increase the salaries of the teachers, which are at the very low end. Once again, it's a question of finances. This case in point for this week, one of the teachers is going on maternity leave, left on Friday. Now is a question, who takes her classes for the next several months? There's no one available in the general area. Teachers all throughout, principals throughout the district are looking for substitute teachers, and there isn't anyone. So the teachers at the school are taking on extra classes so that the fifth grade can get 3 months of education. And it's straining some of them, saying, you know what, I've not received a raise in a while, now you want me to do more work. And it's like, well, we're all kind of stepping up, so we're all kind of hurting together. But that's one example of a ministry of the parish which needs a great deal of attention. How do we address that? How is that? Some good points. We have a faith formation program, which is pretty full. There's about 300 kids in it, and they meet every Saturday. There's a faith formation component here at St. Al's. It's on two different tracks, so there's, well, let's just say it's split, but we have about 300 kids. And this microphone keeps breaking out, and that drives me crazy. We still do sacramental for the people in